It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Tuesday, May 27th. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for Ben Johnson. This is Hurricane Preparedness Week, when residents in hurricane-prone states are encouraged to get ready for hurricane season, which starts on June 1st. Protecting populated coastal areas like New York City has also become a technological challenge. Conrad Wilson explains.
Here's the main problem.
In the last 150 years, sea level has risen about 45 centimeters in New York.
Portland State University's Stefan Talca says that may not sound like much, but the result is any storm that hits today is nearly a foot and a half higher than it was during the mid-1800s. One short-term solution is to move sensitive tech equipment and electrical boxes out of basements, or build houses several feet off the ground. Another technology that might help is a deployable flood barrier. Philip Orton, a professor at the Stevens Institute of Technology, says it's a temporary structure built to help protect the city.
It just gets deployed when there's a storm coming. It's unpopular to some people because there can be human error if it's not deployed correctly.
According to one study, using just barriers in New York is too expensive. It would only be cost-effective under the worst weather scenarios. I'm Conrad Wilson for Marketplace.
Big data keeps getting bigger and more personal. Companies know a whole lot about us, how we spend our money, what we like to read, which websites we visit regularly, what we search for online. They use all this data to show us ads for things they think we're likely to want. But that data can also be used in other ways. Ryan Kahlo teaches cyber law and privacy at the University of Washington. He's here with us now to talk about growing concern over data discrimination. Hi, Ryan.
Hi, Stacey.
Talk to me a little bit about data discrimination and how it works.
There's a growing awareness among academics and policymakers that there's a potential that if we have a lot of data about people, we might be discriminating against them by separating them into different piles or denying them opportunities. But the range of discrimination is a subject of some discussion.
What are some specific areas where people are vulnerable to data discrimination?
I tend to focus on the commercial context, you know, e-commerce increasingly. Every time you purchase something through a technology where it's possible to change the terms or change the price, people are meeting one another online romantically. And that is becoming a very data-driven enterprise, right? So Match.com and OkCupid, your fate as a lover can be determined by algorithm. In Europe, they're concerned about this enough in the commercial context that European law says that consumers should have the right to have a company make a decision about them using a human.
Wow.
Yeah, you can. It's a company. You can use algorithms, and surely folks use algorithms all the time in Europe too. But under EU law, you have to have the opportunity to have a human being in the loop.
What can people do in this country if they feel as if they've been discriminated against because of their data or because of an algorithm? Is there any recourse?
Rarely. In most contexts, you don't have a tremendous amount of recourse, assuming incidentally that you know. That's the other thing, is that often you don't have recourse against an algorithm because you had no idea that an algorithm was involved.
Hmm.
And then those who do know may not understand the algorithm. And even if you understand the algorithm and you know, it may be that the law doesn't provide any recourse. So it's an issue.
Ryan Kahlo is an assistant professor of law at the University of Washington. Ryan, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Our next piece of news is a little bit hard to put into words, mostly because it's not a word. It's an emoticon. It's called the smug shrug, or the shruggy, and you can make one with a regular keyboard. It looks like a little person shrugging and half smiling. It's been making the rounds on social media, but in the last few weeks, shruggy has been everywhere. Kyle Chaika writes about culture and technology, and he recently wrote a piece on Shruggy for the online magazine The All. So, Kyle, tell us, why is Shruggy so popular right now, and what exactly does he mean?
At one end, I think it symbolizes a kind of frustration or anger. For a lot of people, it came up when news was blowing up on Twitter or the internet just became too overwhelming, and it was a kind of gesture of despairing. But then on the other side, it's a kind of who cares, you know, an ability to ignore anything that's bothering you or going on around you.
That's a very, I don't know, sophisticated emotion to go into an emoji, kind of, yeah. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a bit of a cipher that you can interpret out of it what you want. The face itself is kind of smiley, but it's smiling in a kind of bitter way, perhaps. And the gesture of raising your hands in supplication to the sky is a kind of deep gesture that people don't undertake lightly.
Why do you think that we are using emoji and emoticons so much and that our use of them is evolving?
Well, I think as more of our lives are lived online, we kind of need a different form of language to go with that. And emoji are just shortcuts for meaning. They can represent, in this case, like an abstract emotion in a very simple way.
Kyle Chaika writes about technology and culture. Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you.
Of course, Smug Shrug is in the eye of the beholder. Let us know what you think the little guy is saying and how you use it. You can tweet at us. We're at Marketplace Tech, or send us an email, letters@marketplace.org. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.